Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I hope we're all doing well. Thank you for your response. Yes. So we've been looking at finding rest, and Pastor Benson has been taking us through this topic for a couple of weeks. And so we're just going to continue in looking at that God's word. And we want to thank God because this is, you know, a church where we don't pick the topics from Google or YouTube, but we hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And this is what the Spirit of God is saying to every one of us this morning. And as we have asked God in that song, we said, God, arise, take your place, be enthroned. I believe the word of God is going to take its place in every heart this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know, there's one thing that I'd like us all to do. I know we do this anyway. We're always encouraged by a man of God that whenever we find ourselves doing anything that concerns the things of God, we should take it seriously, if I can choose that word. You know, when you read the opening scripture, Psalm 24, Psalm 105, we take it seriously. When you're doing the praise and worship, you take it seriously. When we're giving the offering, you take it seriously. When you're in choir practice, you take it seriously. Because I tell you, the angels of God are here already, and they're worshiping with us. And believe it or not, although it's nice to sing in a choir that has some good harmonies, do we agree? But God, he hears our hearts. You know, in heaven, they read our hearts. Even when in heaven, someone was giving a testimony, even before you speak, the angels know what you're going to say. Because in heaven, they see your hearts. Amen. So this is just to encourage us this morning, that as we hear the word of God this morning, because the word of God is not someone's theory, it's not my argument, but it is God's voice through the living scriptures. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Benson took us through this series, and one of the key people he focused on was Abraham. And I'm going to start from that point. But this morning, I am going to be taking us through the Bible, looking at the Israelites as well. You know, how were those people when they left Egypt, and looking at, you know, how they went through their wilderness and their response to God. And I'll also use some other great men and women of faith. So if you could follow me this morning. Amen. So the first thing that stood out for, I'm sure, a lot of us last week is when Pastor Sam, when we're looking at finding rest, if I asked a lot of us, how do we find rest? Some of us might say we find rest by chilling on Netflix. Yeah? Why are we looking? I'm not telling anyone off this morning. Okay, thank you, brother. Maybe chilling on Netflix. Some people have all of them. They have Prime, Netflix, Apple, and this, what? Disney. Oh, yeah, that's one. Okay. Some of us, maybe we find rest by what? Going on holiday, going on a cruise. Some of us find rest by playing golf. Some of us find rest by doing so many things. But one of the things that struck me from the series that Pastor Benson has been ministering to us so far is this rest that we're talking about is not the rest that we find in things. It's not the rest that we find in material things. Because first of all, is a rest that we find in our minds. And he talked about us finding rest in our soul. And he used Abraham as someone that we could learn from. And there's one powerful scripture that he took us through, and I'd like us to kind of begin with that. So we know that this rest that we're looking at is not finding rest in things or, you know, how many of us, when you finish watching, some of us, what do? We binge, like series. When you finish watching that series and you get up from it, all the things, all the bills and stuff, are they still there? Are they still there? Yeah. Okay. The work is waiting for you and everything. when you come back from holiday, Pastor made a joke that, you know, sometimes when you go on holiday, you think you're going to rest, but when you're going on holiday, there's no distraction or anything. That's when you can even think about your problems more. Can you imagine? So when you come back from holiday, sometimes you still don't find rest because we don't find rest in material things. This rest we are talking about is finding rest in God's word. It's knowing who we are in God. And this scripture demonstrates that. I'd like us to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. You know, we learnt about Abraham. I'm not going to take us through that because Pastor has already. And, you know, one of the things that Abraham faced in his life is God said, okay, you should go to Canaan. And when he went to Canaan, he was faced with famine. And then God said he'll be a father of nations. And then the journey of not having a child on time came. But what did Abraham do? Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Did we just hear what we read? I want to take that last verse again, verse 21, verse 2. He said, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. So in order for us to find rest, we need to know God. You know, there's a scripture that says, those who know their God shall be strong, and they should do great exploits. I know many of us, we like to quote that scripture. And I think what makes us hype is the end bit. We'll do great exploits. But in order to do great exploits, what did it say? You need to know their God. And in knowing God starts with finding rest in God's word mentally. And so I want to take us through some things this morning on how can we find rest in God. And I have about 3 points. If you have your notes, or if maybe you just want to focus and you want to listen to the message afterwards, that's fine. So these are just some examples of how I believe that I want to encourage us this morning. We can find rest in God. Number one, we can find rest in God in being obedient. In being obedient. We can also find rest in God, number two, by taking your burdens to God and identifying the helpers God has placed around you. Number two, taking your burdens to God and identifying the helpers that God has placed around you. And lastly, number three, knowing what God's word says about your situation. And I wrote here, this will build your faith. Amen. So you're probably thinking that what's obedience got to do with finding rest in God? But if we look at Abraham's life, he was someone who was obedient. And some of the things that we will see here is, okay, if we go back to that scripture, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. We can only find rest in God when we know who God is. Okay, let me start with this. So Abraham is a very, very good example. We can identify with so many things that happened in his life. And he wasn't counted as righteous because, you know, he was the best person. But the Bible said because he believed against all hope and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So I just want to just kind of give some practical examples. So, you know, sometimes, just going to throw out some ideas out there. Sometimes maybe you find yourself, you're in a financial challenge, right? Has anyone ever been there? Do you know that you can drive a Jeep and have zero in your bank account? Do you know that's possible? You can wear lipstick, nice shoes, and have zero in your bank account, okay? You know, sometimes you see people, they're going through their struggles. Maybe you can even have health challenges, right? But the Bible says that they that know their God shall do great exploits. You know, when the knowing is knowing the power that God has to turn your situation around. And your knowing is knowing God's word, what he says about that situation. Okay? So there's some people, okay, there's some people that came to my mind. So Abraham, obviously Abraham was someone that practiced that. God said he should leave where he was, his nice house and everything, and go to a land where there was famine. I think Pastor Benson has treated that. But another person that I found interesting was Moses' mother. So I'm sure all of us know the story of Moses' mother. She found herself in Egypt. But this woman, she knew her God. She knew her God. And this story can be found, I believe, in Exodus chapter 3 or 2. But I've pasted it here in my notes. Okay. So I'm just taking this woman as an example just to say that people that have walked the pages of the Bible have been in the situations that you and I may find ourselves. So this lady, she found herself in Egypt. And just to give some context, because I don't want to spend too much time here, just to give some context, a decree went in the land that said that of the Israelite women, every male child that was born should be what? Killed. And so this woman, knowing that all the time these Israelites in Egypt, they were, you know what MI5 is, or FBI, have we heard that? Yeah, sometimes I tease my husband that does he secretly work in MI5? Because honestly, his health and safety, like if I'm looking for him right now, he's sitting next to the door of the church. You know why? He's on surveillance. He's on surveillance. It's so funny. The first time, obviously, I've only been married once. But when I got married to him, I was going to say the first time I got married, but that sentence doesn't make sense, right? I've only been married once. It's out there. So the first time I got married to him, I started to notice some weird, but then I realized that it's kind of MI5 vibes. When we used to go on the train then, we didn't really drive all the time. We had our leg Sadies, you know, we went on the train. And I noticed when we go on the train, he wants to sit near the exit, and then he wants to sit at the edge. So I never thought nothing of it, you know. And I noticed whenever we go into church as well, in the headquarters, they have these cinema chairs, right? You know, cinema chairs, when you get up, you have to walk through many people for the ushers, I think they actually know him. One of them that be like, I want to sit on the edge. And I asked, I said, why do you do this weird thing? Whenever we go somewhere, you sit. He said, because you have to mark your exit in case of anything. And then another strange thing as well, you know, at night when we sleep, they say something about, just say, Charles, we're ready. I just like, you need to chill. So this is the kind of surveillance that was going on in those times. This woman, she had the audacity to still give birth to her son. And do you know, kids, that child, Moses, was a very, very well-trained child, because I don't know how that child did not cry, did not make noise, that these Egyptians didn't pick up that there was a child in that house. And the Bible says, we can actually read it. I don't want to take us too much time because I'm looking at my time. It's far spent. So it was in Exodus. Thank you. Exodus chapter 2. Let's just have a read there. So I've given us the background. So male children were being killed at the time of Moses' birth. So let me just read from that Exodus chapter 2 from verse 1. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it amongst the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister at a distance, she stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, which means, "I drew him out of the water." I want you to understand that this woman is a woman who knew her God. Daniel chapter 11, I believe it was verse 32, said, "Those who know their God shall do great exploits." I believe this woman, she knew that it was written that God was taking her people to a promised land and that their end was not Egypt. I want you to understand what it means for a woman to put her child in a basket. And I remember a preacher that was teaching it and just was reflecting that if you look at that river, there must have been like maybe crocodiles. There must have been things. But this woman, that is great faith. So when you find rest in God, I'm just using an example to say you find rest in God knowing what the word of God has said concerning her situation. She knew, as for me and my house, my son is not going to die here. My son is actually part of this prophecy where God said he's going to take us to a promised land. So in finding rest is in knowing. And this knowing I'm talking about is knowing who God is. Knowing who God is. And another thing that came to me this morning is God reminded me of a time even in my life as well. Because, you know, yesterday we had a wonderful baby shower. It was amazing. It was amazing for our lovely sister Amarachi. And some ladies in this church, they've been given new names. Some are called diapers, some are called bottles. I'm sure they told their husbands when they come home. That's a private joke. Only those who are there will understand. And anyway, and so, you know, different women, you know, we're just sharing things and stuff like that. And we had a great time of reflection and thanksgiving to God. And in knowing God is making sure that your mind is programmed by the word of God. Your mind is not programmed by even what my best friend said. My mind is not programmed based on what the decree of the land said. The decree of the land said that every firstborn of the Israelites shall die. That lady said, "Not my own, not in this house, not whilst God is under my watch." Your mind is not programmed based on what the teacher said concerning your child at school. Maybe what someone told you. Your mind is not programmed on that. You know, I've shared this before. They that know their God shall be strong. Because when you know God, it actually brings strength. It brings strength for that situation you're in. And that is why you will have great exploits. You know, I remember one time when, you know, the doctor said, "Oh, you might have cervical cancer. And you know what, well, how many kids do you have? You have one." "Oh, well, you might not be able to have another one," just to cut the story short. But I remember that when I had a dream, even before I had my son, I had a dream that I was going to have a girl. So If God said, I'm going to have a girl, who are you, doctor? Bless God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for going to medicine school. Thank you for going to Harvard and Oxford. God bless you. But God has shown me that there's a girl. So who's confused? Surely not my God. So they that know their God, when you know your God, then you find rest. Yes, I was a little bit worried, but then I just rested in God because it's not my life. I didn't ask to be brought here. God is the one that designed me and brought me for a purpose. And I know that, well, this girl, she has to come. So this morning I'm saying we find rest in knowing God. And we cannot know God unless we know his word. Because the word of God is Jesus. And the Bible says, I believe, in John, in the word of God in John, I believe, one of the chapters in John, it says, Jesus, he was the word. And he was the word became flesh. And that word, it was the life of man. Just like Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is our life. And so just like Moses' mother and like Abraham, we find faith, we find, rest in God by knowing God in situations where we find ourselves. Amen. And you know, there's another story I put here. Honestly, time is running. I don't know, maybe someone put something in that clock this morning, you know. There's so many wonderful people in the Word of God that, you know, that we can look at. So my point is, what I'm trying to find here, that finding rest, it starts with finding rest in our minds, who we are in God, in knowing God. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 to 20. I think I'm just going to jump to verse 20. So we know what happened with Joshua. So unfortunately, some of them that came out of Egypt through their disobedience were not able to see the promised land. But here we have Joshua, who took over the baton from Moses. So Joshua, God gave Joshua a very strange request. And this is, you know, sometimes after I've been under this teaching when Pastor was taking us through, I don't know if it happened to you, there's some stories you've read before, but when you read it again, you're like, how did I miss this? You have a new revelation, and this is the month of revelation. And the word of God is becoming new to us. And so God told Joshua to tell the priests and the people that they should go into the city of Jericho, and they should walk around the city. And then on the seventh day, I believe it was, they should blow their trumpets and shout. Can you believe when Joshua told the people, if it was you, would you not be like, is Joshua okay? Is he been smoking something? Do you know that? I was like searching the Bible. I was like, hold on. There's nobody challenging him here. Everybody. These people were solid. They knew their God. They've heard of the stories that this is the God that took our people, our ancestors from Egypt. This was the God that parted the Red Sea. You know, they knew their God. And verse 20 says, so the people shouted, and when the priests blew their trumpets, and it happened. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, and sheep and donkey. Amen. And I don't think we understand what happened here. The Bible says they blew the trumpet and they shouted. This was not a missile. This was not an earthquake. This was shouts of men like you and I. We are people that are living with the Holy Spirit that brought the wall of Jericho down. But something came to me. I said, it was the shout, but that shout came with a knowing. What I'm trying to say here is, you don't understand. Maybe, I don't know, for some of us, we've been on fasting, I don't know, for for 40 days. Maybe some of us have done, do you know what Hallelujah Challenge is? It's very, very good. Yeah? You've done Hallelujah Challenge. Then after you did it, that's when you got the bad email. But you know what changes that? Is the knowing that is inside that shout. Is the knowing that is inside that faith. So in finding rest in God is not just by joining every single prayer meeting. It's not just by, some people do some funny things. Maybe I shouldn't say that, sorry. It's not by what you do, it's about the persuasion you have in knowing God's word. You know, when that thing came to me, I was just like, wow. All those people, their shout went, it carried with the knowing of who their God was. Let me tell you, no one can take your knowing from you, knowing who God is. It did not say by their great, you see all these things, I'm not knocking it. Prayer is important. Fasting is important. If you feel you need to go on the mountain, hey, all that is important, but it's just religious activity if you don't have the knowing your God. So I think I've emphasized that point enough, that knowing, finding rest in God is knowing your God. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is in finding rest in God, is being obedient. Yeah? And you know, when I say obedient, I'm not talking about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. Because I know all of us in here, we're all good, aren't we? Yeah, we are all good. Okay. But you know what it is? It's the subtle disobedience. It's the subtle disobedience. For example, God tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. God says that we should forgive. You know, in obedience, you find rest in God. You find rest in God. Because a lot of us, you know, the things that are bothering us is, you know, maybe there's a prophecy unfulfilled, or maybe we feel like God has not given us that promise in our career, or maybe it might be health challenges and all of that. But God has already settled it in his word, in just being obedient. So for example, when we look at the Israelites, I'd like us to look at the Israelites, because this is very key. One of the scriptures that Pastor read was actually about the Israelites not entering into God's rest. So in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, and the reason why I want to choose the Israelites is because, like I said, this disobedience is not necessarily committing adultery and all these things. Many of us, I believe, were all Christians this morning, but it's the subtle things. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, it says, having set out from Elim, the whole Israelites community came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departure from the land of Egypt, verse 2, here in the wilderness, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to themselves, if only we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our kettles of meat and ate our fill of bread. But you have led us into this wilderness to make this holy assembly die of famine. You know, sometimes we can be, sometimes I include myself as well. Sometimes we can be disobedient to God subtly, because we pick and choose what we want to adhere to. So the Israelites are a very good example. They had seen all the wonders that God had done. I mean, the Israelites, I mean, I can't even get over the part of the Bible that says that these people, they were size, I don't know what size they were, but maybe some were size 4, size 3. There's some sisters in this house that they have arguments about their shoe size. But they said this Israelites, some of them, as they went on through the years in this wilderness, there was no place to buy shoes. There was no Next. There was no, I don't know what your favorite shoe shop is, but the Bible says their feet, the shoe grew with them. Can you imagine that miracle, that awesomeness? But it said these people, they still grumbled. They were still disobedient. And they tried to help God. And sometimes we don't find rest in God because we try to help God. But you know that that could be being disobedient. I have to be careful about what I want to say. You cannot be obedient upon disobedience. That's what I wrote here. What does that mean? So I remember when I was trying to change careers, and a lot of people were doing a lot of, what can I use? A lot of, doing it their own way, if I can just say that. Some of them, in their imagination, they've worked in Google, they have worked all these fake CVs and all of that. And I said to myself, you know what, the devil comes to me and be like, come on, you know, heaven helps those who help themselves. Well, the devil will say, oh, come on, you're not fully being disobedient. You're walking in faith now. Just create that CV, yes? You've not worked in all these places. And I just said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to tell them that I did have some of this experience, but it was training experience. And I'll tell them I had another job and everything. And everybody thought that I wasn't smart. That, look at her, two goody two shoes. Is she the only one that knows Jesus? Sometimes you need to patch it here and there. We've all done it. They can, but not us. Okay? And so some people did, and some people found it the hard way. Yes, they did get jobs, but I can tell you, they spent half of the office time where? In the toilet. Trying to Google their way through questions. Someone told me a joke one time that it was so tough, they went into the office and they said there was a trick they had. They would always stand by the photocopier machine, pretending that they were photocopying because they just didn't know the job. And then they just had to say, oh God, I'm feeling sick. And that's how they just ran out. Why would you want to put yourself in that situation? But finding rest in God's word is being obedient to his word to the full letter. Not helping God. Another thing as well, I want to talk about as well, in finding rest, some of us, we haven't found rest in relationships. You know, these relationships, they could be relationships at work, they could be relationships in a marriage, they could be relationships maybe in a family, okay? And you've not found rest in that place. But you know what the Bible says? Something struck me one time. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know if it's happened to you. You know, when I think of that scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, I think of other people. I don't think of my husband. But that neighbor includes your husband. That neighbor includes that person at work. I don't know, in our mind where we think love your neighbor is that neighbor that is far away. And it occurred to me that, girl, you know what? If you don't treat your husband right, if you're not kind to him, if you're not, then God forbid. Do you know that scripture? When it says, when the trumpet sounds, it says, you will see two of them, maybe husband and wife. One will be raptured and one will stay. That doesn't mean that it's the unbeliever that stayed. Those two people could be two Christians. God forbid that will not be me or not be us in Jesus' name. In being obedient to God and finding rest in your relationship, what is the fight about? What is the fight about? Someone puts socks on the floor and then put it away, pick it up, move on. In finding rest in your relationship is being kind. I'm using relationship because that's what I can relate to. And God knows everything, you know. A lot of times we think God is thinking about the big things, like I said, do not fornicate, do not murder or whatever. But how are you treating that closest person to you? In the workplace, we're praying to God about things. We sang this morning, Jesus, have it all, Lord, take my life and all of that. is not in the singing or in the lifting up of hands. That is part of it. But is in, when we're out of church, what do you do Monday to Friday? In the office, when they're gossiping about the director or people, are you part of them? You know, there's something about not being involved in office politics or whatever. When you go to work, you find rest. Is that true? You find rest. What am I talking about? I'm talking about finding rest in God. I'm talking about the importance of obedience. Amen. And in our own time, we can read how the Israelites who knew God, who'd seen all the miracles, they were still disobedient to God. And in Exodus chapter 32, you can read in your own time from verses 1 to about 9. It talks about how they built a golden calf. And one of the things I just want to say again, just before we move on, a lot of us, this whole thing of chasing money, chasing wealth, chasing that city job. I think Pastor thought of a joke when his dream was to work in the city, wear the nice suit and be walking and all of that. You know, that was one of the dreams. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that is not in finding rest. Finding rest, remember what we said, is knowing God. And, you know, in the reason why I brought this up is, let us not disobey God in order to pursue wealth and material things. You know why? At the end of the day, what is waiting for every one of us is not a curse. It's a fact of life. You know what is waiting? 6 foot under. 6 foot under. And the Bible says that their works went before them as they were laid in the grave. And I believe that. That is why I believe this is so timely in making sure that we understand what finding rest is. It's not like, you know, the people who, unfortunately, when I say the people of the world, we're not better than them. The difference between us and them is just a revelation of salvation, the revelation of who we are in Christ. So in finding rest to God, we must be obedient to God. Let us not be like the Israelites who in the wilderness, they wanted to help God. They were more into material things, what they can eat. They forgot that great purpose that God had in front of them, and they disobeyed God and they built the calf in the wilderness. Amen. And one of the things that I wanted to mention as well is, do you know, when we are finding God's rest, we should always be grateful. I wrote here that we should not grumble, because that was one of the things that the Israelites did. They grumbled. I don't know, Moses was so patient. Moaning. God, we need food. God brought food from heaven. Wow. Then God brought water and they still moaned. God is such a patient and merciful God. So I just wrote, in finding rest, we must always be grateful. Amen. Then I think maybe I'll stop here because of time. In finding rest in God, you know, number two we wrote is we need to take our burdens to God and identify the helpers God has placed around us. So in finding rest in God, we need to take our burdens to God and identify the helpers that God placed around us. Amen. And I'd like to read the story of, still looking at the Israelites, I'd like to look at the story of Moses. In Exodus chapter 18, and we'll read from verse 17. So, you know, Moses was trying to keep the people as much as he could. They weren't the easiest of people to manage. And Moses' father-in-law was with him when they were going through this wilderness experience. And his name was Jethro, and he called Moses, and in verse 17, he says, "What you are doing is not wise." Moses' father-in-law replied, "You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you. The task is too heavy for you, and you cannot do it alone. Now listen to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. as the people's representative before God, bring their disputes to God and enlighten them in regards to the statutes and instructions, showing them how they are to conduct themselves and why they are to. Then he also said in verse 21, but he said, but you, Moses, you should also look among all the people who are able and God-fearing men, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and set them over the people as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens. Let these render decisions for the people in all routine cases. And I'll stop there. So you're probably thinking, why is she reading this story? We know that in the scripture, in the book of Matthew, it says, casting all your burdens upon, we should cast all our burdens upon Jesus. And here we see Moses and his father-in-law instruct him and says, you need to cast all these issues and worries of the people, you need to cast it onto God. He said, do not be wise. So my question to us is, are we casting our burdens onto Jesus? Okay. Some of us might say, yeah, we are. I pray, I read the Bible. But sometimes, like I said earlier on, we are not. We are helping God. In casting your burdens onto Jesus, it doesn't mean that you should neglect what you're supposed to do as a person. I don't believe that you're looking for a job and you just pray and your CV is not done. That's not what we're talking about here. But casting your burden in knowing God and knowing and say, Lord, you know what? I've done my bit. But regardless of the email I've read, regardless of what I heard, I'm fully persuaded that you cannot lie. I'm fully persuaded that you cannot lie. And the other thing here as well, and I know I always talk about this. I talk about people. Finding your rest in understanding the helpers that God has put around you. Jethro said to Moses, and find those amongst you who can also help you with the people. And one of the things I wanted to encourage us with is that in finding rest, we don't need to hide ourselves. We don't need to be alone. One thing I love, and I was just saying about this church, yesterday was so beautiful, the baby shower. Do we all agree, those who were able to come? You see how, you know, the couple was so touched. And as I was driving home, I was just sharing with my husband, I just said, you know what? There's nothing more blessed than having people around you. You know, and we were saying that, do you know that I can have all the billions of the world and I don't have people around me? Even if I have billions, the billions in a bank account cannot bury me. When I pass, I need people to even bury me. Finding rest in the people that are around you. And another thing for us is we need to understand as well that we are blessings for people. And I want to encourage us, and again, this is not a marketing strategy. We don't do those kind of funny things here, honestly. Pastor Benson doesn't force people or what have you, right? But in finding rest, you need to be part of a certain group of people. And how can you find your helper if you're not fellowshipping? There's so many opportunities to fellowship. You know, I know some of us, maybe we're visiting this morning. This is not your local assembly. But Jesus never says things just because he wants to. When he said, do not forsake the gathering of the assembly, he knew what he was saying. On Mondays, we have prayer fellowship meetings. On Fridays, we have Bible studies here. And I know the reason why I'm stating all of them is because maybe you're working on Monday, you can come on Friday. Maybe you're working on Friday, you can come on Monday. And, you know, and also obviously we have Sunday services. But let me tell you something. You find rest in God's presence. You find rest in fellowshipping with other believers. Who here has ever gotten a job just by sitting in their house? Oh, I have a job. Was it a person that gave you the job? Oh, no? Oh, Okay, after the service, please let me know the other ways that people are getting jobs here. I want to know. You know, what I'm just trying to say is finding rest through the people God has blessed you with. And, you know, yesterday the fellowship was so wonderful, so therapeutic, and so, because there's just joy in godly gathering and in being amongst God's people. Amen. So just in summary, we've been looking at finding God's rest. And it's very, very important to know that when we're talking about finding this rest, it's not finding rest in material things. We need to first of all start from a place of finding rest in our soul, in our minds. And a mind cannot find rest unless they know their God. Those who know their God, the Bible said in Daniel 11, verse 32, part B, that they are the ones that will be strong and do great exploits. When we find rest in God, it gives us strength for even the situations that we're in. We looked at, that was what helped Abraham. That is what helped Moses. That is what helped the people. When they blew the trumpet and shouted, the shout was followed by a knowing of who they were in God. We also looked at the importance of being obedient. You know, when you're obedient, you find rest. Because everything God has called us to obey, he knew that it would give us rest. He knew it would give us peace in our marriages. He knew that it would give us good relationships, no unforgiveness, no bitterness. You know, helping God, it will not put you into problem. And also as well, lastly, we looked at casting our burdens upon Jesus. Understanding that we need to cast our burdens upon Jesus, and also identifying the helpers that God has put around us. I tell you, so many of us, we don't know that the answer is in the person that you're sitting next to. Yeah? The person that you're sitting next to could be, I don't know, the prime minister of our country. And it's not a joke. You know, the other day, I think in the headquarters in CFT, we have a lady, her name is Sister Michelle. And I'm going to big her up, Sister Michelle. She plays, I think she plays for Arsenal, but she was then taken to play for England in a women's football. And in the match against Sweden, she scored a goal. And I'm like, this is the girl I see in choir playing the keyboard. And I think she plays the bass as well. I said, those that know their God shall score a mighty goal. And I was just like, this is what I'm talking about. You don't know who is sitting next to you. Might be the person that is playing for Chelsea. Might be the person. What I'm just trying to say is, you know, sometimes we can find your rest. I believe God does not bring people just for bringing people's sake. We need to open up. You don't need to, you know, divulge your deepest secret. But there is the answer in someone for you. Instead of that thing that has been racking your mind, the answer has just been sitting next to you every Sunday. You did not even know it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But I think I need to stop here. But woohoo, Sister Michelle. Oh, I was so proud. I was like, yeah, I know her. And she is godly. And she is a Christian. And she plays the keyboard. Hello. How about that? And she's still awesome at football. God is amazing. And I tell you, the God that did exploits in the Bible is doing it now. But why not trust him? Why not follow his way? Why not leave Egypt? Leave the things of the world. And just trust him fully. Amen. I'd like us to stop here. I've taken our time. Let's rise up in joy this morning in knowing who we are in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like the Israelites shouted and the walls of Jericho came down. Amen. Thank you, Lord, because this is the month of revelation. Thank you for revealing the message about finding your rest in this month. Hallelujah. I'd like us to visit that scripture again as we pray it this morning. That scripture in Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. I read from there. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. But yet he did not waver. Even though Abraham, he knew for a fact that his body was dead. I don't know what's going on in your lives. For a fact, you might have health challenges. For a fact, you might have lost your job. For a fact, you might have received some disappointing news. But I want you to hold on to this word this morning. It said Abraham did not waver, hallelujah, fully being persuaded in God. We're going to say, Father, Lord, help the word I've received this morning to quicken my faith in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Let's say, Father, Lord, I pull down every argument in my mind, every argument that's been warring with the word of God in my mind. I silence you this morning in the name of Jesus, because I know who I am in Christ. I'm fully persuaded in God that yet I receive this evil, yet the situation looks like this, but God, I'm not going to waver in my faith in this month. Father, we thank you, Lord, because your word has come to do a thing. The Bible says that his word goes forth and it cannot return to him void. Thank you, Jesus, because your word is working this morning. Your word is changing lives. All we need to do is hold on without wavering, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we rise up in obedience. We will no longer help you, but we will cast every burden upon Jesus. Amen. In this month of revelation, we thank you, Father, Lord, that you reveal your word to us like never before. I thank you, Jesus, because we find rest at the seat of Jesus this morning. Everything that has troubled our mind, we thank you, Lord, because we have found rest. Those things no longer trouble our mind in the name of Jesus. We have control because we have the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen.